God has always paralleled these for the purpose of discernment. And today is the house of Baal. Okay, the church has to come out of the house of Baal, okay, which again is as a form of Babylon, a form of bondage, okay, the false religious system. Okay? Yeah, chapter 9. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, whereas touching the ministering to the saints, he says here it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the firmness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. Okay, and that your zeal has provoked very many. Okay, you might want to highlight that, your zeal. Your zeal has provoked very many. Okay, also I like the word forward. I know the forwardness of your mind. Now forwardness is not frowardness, it's forwardness. Okay, frowardness again has to do with a state of iniquity. But here it has to do with concerning the forethought. Mm-hmm. Okay, forethought on that. All right, taking thought. Okay, so I highlight that. Forwardness of your mind. Your zeal. That's good. Okay, touching and ministering to the saints, which we're doing. Okay, which would be good to keep in mind too, because we have a list up there, okay, regarding some of the needs of the saints, concerning employment and also some finances, okay, touching the ministering to the saints. Okay, let's see what else Apostle Paul is going to say here. Okay, touching the ministering to the saints, fullness, and your zeal, connecting those together there. Okay. Okay, yet have I sent the brethren, lest their boasting of you, Paul says here, should be in vain. Okay, in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Okay, now this projection right here had nothing to do with projection imagination. Okay, but this again was this position of government. Okay, this is not the same thing as James brings out, saying that we can go into such a city and buy and sell and gain. Okay, this is completely different. Okay, so you might want to highlight some of that thing there. Lest it should be in vain. Okay, making up things beforehand. Okay. And verse 4. Okay, less happily if they Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say not you, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Okay, same confident boasting. Not the moral code. Okay. Okay, same confident boasting. So we might maybe make a note on that. Not that this is not the moral code he's talking about right here, as James did. And we can jump over to James there for a second. What was it, James chapter 1? Okay, I'm looking for that one verse.
I think it's in chapter 2.
Yeah.
Go to 9.
Go to now. Right, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, go to now, you that say they go into such a city and buy and sell and make gain.
Mm-hmm. For
okay.
You know, not what you know. It is in chapter 1. 1:10, but the rich in that he is made low because
okay.
of the flower, the grass.
Okay, yeah, that's one. Okay, the other one. You can reflect back on that. Okay, 4:13.
Okay, and also 5:1, go to now you rich men, weak in house for your miseries, such that shall come upon you.
Okay. Good. Okay, there's some verses right there.
Mm-hmm.
4:13. Okay. Okay, now I'm going back to Corinthians. Okay, this is not the same, okay, as the projection, the aspiration, but the Apostle Paul here is making, okay, making arrangements in order to make retain a collection from the saints there, for the other poor saints. Okay, so that's a different, this is a different mindset. Okay, one is government, the other one is aspiration. This one is a faith, because it's in government, the other one has to do with the moral code. Okay, that was just extrapolating from the signature. Okay, therefore I thought necessary to exhort the brethren. Okay, that's another good one. Okay, there's another evidence that's not of that of the aspiration. Okay, we don't exhort to the aspiration, we exhort through faith. So I might want to hide that one there too in verse 5. Okay, therefore I thought necessary to exhort the brethren that they will go before you, would go before unto you to make up beforehand your bounty. Okay, whereof you had noticed before, the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as, well, it says it right there. Yeah, not as of covetousness. Good. Okay. Not as of covetousness. Okay, so you might want to highlight that and, okay, and also draw that to verse 4. Not as of covetousness. The same thing that we're doing when take up a collection for the saints. Okay, yeah, we're making more arrangements for that too. And to try to assist the saints out, whether it be food, water, electric or gas, or things that have immediately pressing needs. Okay, on that. Okay, verse 6. This I say, he which sows sparingly should reap also sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Okay. He's not giving a formula here. That's in verse 6. Okay. And that's what you always say, the more you sow, the more you grow. Okay. Regarding your charity, which is also in word and in deed. Okay, every man according as he proposes in his heart. Now when he says proposes in his heart, he's not making a specified amount like you would in tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as every man proposes in heart. Now, in tithing, they didn't have a choice in the matter of that first covenant. They had to meet that criteria, okay, of 10%. But here we can see as every man proposes in his heart, as everyone is capable. Okay, and as God so lays on your eyes, God so lays on your heart. So let him give. Okay, as every man is capable. So let a man give, he says. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, okay, or out of compulsion. Okay, for God loves a cheerful giver. Alright. Now in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, well, I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You know, God rewards your faith. Now he's not rewarding the giving, but he's rewarding your faith and regarding that giving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that you're that you're standing in that light of loving thy neighbor as thyself, okay, and to assist the church. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, okay, that you, always having all sufficiency, okay, and all things may abound to every good work. Okay, and I believe he talks about equality. Right, in the other chapter. All right, verse 9, as is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Sounds like the book of Job. Okay, his righteousness remains forever. The testimony of Job's giving, okay, still resounds in righteous today, in the ears of the saints today. Okay, and his endurance until the reward. Okay, we do the same thing. In verse 10, now he that ministers to you, now he that ministers seed to the sower, okay, as God issues and to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Oh, I like that. Increase the fruits of your righteousness. Okay, you might want to highlight that. Okay, these are things which God rewards. These are the tokens which God rewards you for your consistencies. That's why consistency, or the three C's there, are important. Okay, consistency, conformity, and communication, the three C's. Okay, so you could put a note in there, reward your fruits, increase the fruits of your righteousness, the three C's. Conformity, consistency, and your communication all pays off. Okay? Pays off in the end. Okay, as the Lord rewards your consistency. Okay, your consistency of faith. Okay, your communication of charity. Okay, your conformity to government. Okay, everything plays in. Okay, that's the game plan. Okay, everyone works together. Okay, it's the same thing. Even though there's variances and differences. Okay, between the functionality. Okay, yet the goal is the same. Okay, as you can see with like a football team. Okay, your baseball team. Okay, your sports. Okay, not everyone is playing the same position. Everyone plays a different position, but everyone's contributing to the whole, and that's to make the goal. Okay, that's what we're doing. Same thing, that's the mobility. Mobility is that everyone is able to contribute. Okay, whether it be much, okay, or whether it be little, okay, or be with great revelation, okay, or there's this consistency, everyone's contributing with their consistency. Okay, in the false religious system, consistency wasn't even rewarded. Okay, but in the truth, consistency is rewarded every day. Okay, as God continues to issue forth His grace, dreams, visions, prophecy, okay, revelations, okay, charity. All right. And so in a false religious system, it was very, very seldom if any kind of consistency, spiritually wise, okay, was even acknowledged. Okay, in that. Okay, but of course our goal is to try to meet over that 1 million minutes of prayer. Okay, as we met the criteria last year. I think it was last year about 3 million. It was last year. I have to go check our record. Okay, on that. Well, let's go on here. Okay, so verse 10 again. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown in grace and charity, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, the three seeds, consistency, conformity, and communication. Okay, we also see something else is entwined within this threefold cord. Okay, being enriched in everything. Okay, so how do the word enriched? Enriched. Okay, so what is the fruits of righteousness to do? Enriching. Okay, and as the Lord enriches, He's keeping the flavor of your righteousness fresh, like fresh bread out of the oven. Okay, it's very pleasant to the nose as you take fresh bread out of the oven, or fresh pie, or fresh cake, or steak. Okay, whatever you're cooking, okay, it leaves that it has that pleasant aroma. Okay, which also works with the appetite, and we can see the same thing here. Okay, the fruits of your righteousness are as a pleasant aroma. Okay, it's like fresh baked out of the oven as it's coming forth in charity. Your charity, whether it be in word or in deed. Okay, as the Apostle John was talking about, Paul talks about. Okay, because as you offer your charity one to another, it's accompanied with that spirit, the anointing. Okay, and it brings that sweet-smelling savior of righteousness. This is what Paul is talking about. Okay, we are a sweet-smelling savior of life unto life. Okay, to those which are in covenant, but and to those which are in death, that anointing is offensive, highly offensive to anointing. The anointing is highly offensive to the unrighteous, the sinner. And so to them, okay, because it challenges the value of the conscience, that the value of conscience is unworthy, okay, of God's acceptance, then therefore the odor of it is death unto death. Okay, but we are, of course, as a sweet savior of Christ, okay, because of the fruits of righteousness. And here, again, the word enriched, empowered, beautified. Okay. We even see the same thing in the tokens of that first covenant. Okay, in the tokens of the first covenant, okay, not only was the design of it, okay, for its use, okay, but also it was given beauty. Okay, it's like a football uniform. Okay, a football uniform has its uses, but it also has its adornment. Okay, as Abraham is an example, but how about Aaron? Okay, in his priestly vestments. Okay, they talk. We see, as you read the Book of Psalms and read like Numbers and Leviticus. Okay, identifies the vestments of the priesthood. Okay, they have a mobility. Okay, at the same time they have a beauty. Okay, your car really could look like just a hunk of metal. Okay, just like a rust bucket. This could be a hunk of metal with a couple 4 tires put on it. Okay, and a functional engine, and everything looks like it's just assembled willy-nilly, if you want to. Okay, but you wouldn't buy a vehicle like that. Okay, you don't go down to a dealership and look for the worst vehicle that you could find. Says, well, let me find one out in the back. You know, something that they have to pull out and put some air in, something like that. You look for something that has eye appeal, something that you like. Okay. Well, that's the same thing with the vestments of the priesthood. And God put functionality into it, mobility into it, and he also put beauty into it. Okay, as he also does the virtue of Christ within each one of us. Okay, when praying in tongues is a functionality, but the beauty of it, it works the virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the same thing with your sacrifices, your loved one's sacrifices. The state of your conscience, okay, gives off a sweet-smelling savior, okay, in the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness, because that's what the Lord says, be holy for I am holy. So we have to touch those things which God has sanctified, okay, to be holy. Be holy as I am holy. Okay, so the unity of the righteous is as the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. Okay, there's functionality to it, mobility to it, beauty to it. So we're enriched in verse 11 here. Being enriched in everything. Okay, and I put the word everything also. I put the word tools over that. Okay, put the word tools over the word everything. See the word thing there. Okay, is speaking as identifying an object. Okay, it's not speaking something of an ambiguous nature. Ambiguous has to do with like just something that exists in a concept. Okay, he's not, when he says being enriched in everything, it's not just a invisible concept. Okay, it's something that is valid. It has form, functionality to it. Okay, mobility to it. So the word thing is a tool. Okay, this tool is enriching you. It's beautifying you in holiness, the robes of Christ. Okay, the robes of Christ has to do with your priesthood, and the robes and the priesthood, the vestments of your priesthood, okay, really is the armor. So your armor is the vestments of your priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and by these things, you're able to stand fast, okay, against the wiles of the devil. Okay, you're able to overcome. You're able to function at the altar. Okay, and with that, the armor of righteousness, being the vestments of your priesthood, is also the robes of righteousness. Okay, the robes of righteousness, that's Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus Christ, that is the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. Okay, well, we read about that in Revelation. Hopefully, we get over there. Okay, so being enriched in everything. And the Apostle Paul is able to identify the process of this. Okay, in Corinthians. Now you notice that when the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, he is writing this, okay, and regarding those under his stewardship. Okay, not apart from it. Apart from the stewardship, this is nothing more than a precept. It's a concept, an ideology. Okay, apart from the stewardship. But being under the stewardship is tethered to Godhead. When it's tethered to Godhead, it's empowered by the Spirit. And when it's empowered by the Spirit, it's bringing forth the temperament of Christ. The temperament of Christ is there. Okay, so being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, Okay, again, that when it says bountifulness right there, the token is working this temperament. Okay, so put the word temperament over that. The token of faith is working this temperament of Christ. Okay. Temperament. It's working a temperament, a virtue. Okay, it's working a virtue within you. Okay, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. And that's the conclusion of the cycle. Thanksgiving, that's what we do in the assembly, the general assembly. Okay, and in conclusion of the sacrifices, your petitions, your laboring. See, you just labored. Okay, that was your labor in the vineyard of Christ. At the conclusion of your laboring is the wage of righteousness. Okay? We know that the wages of sin is death. So at the conclusion of your sowing to iniquity and to iniquity, okay, your wage is derision, confusion, being confounded, okay, disoriented, okay, in your fellowshipping with doubt, double minus, and sedition, right? You're laboring with all. See, that's the wages of that kingdom. Okay, but the wages of your righteousness is this temperament. Okay, and the conclusion is thanksgiving to God. Okay, which is also identifying your seal. It's identifying your seal as Christ. Okay, here he goes to the word administration. Okay, and then we see government. Okay, so government has an active work, okay, within this process. Just as much as a coach. Okay, a coach might be standing on a sideline as the players are in the field. Of course, the coach can't go out there in the field. He ends up getting tackled or beaten to death with sticks out there, okay, by the opposing team. But the coach stands on the sideline, okay, and he is strategizing. Okay, he has a strategy in his mind. Okay, as he's observing the activity of the opposing team. Okay, as he's observing the activity of the opposing team, he is strategizing, okay, and he's giving tactics to the captain of the team. Okay, so the captain of the team is receiving his orders from the coach. Okay, the coach giving the tactics, the next play. So he tells the captain, play on nine. Okay, so the captain goes out there. Okay, he sends a messenger. He tells the captain team, play on nine. The captain tells the players, play on nine. So they get out there in their huddle. And they say, okay, let's go. Okay, and they get on the line there. Okay, each one has already been prepped. And we can say practice, practiced, and practice. Prayed, prayed, and prayed. That's what he did, see? Okay, and that's what we do. We pray, pray, and pray. Okay, and by praying, you're keeping your focus on your mission, which is fruit bearing and information, informing. That's your mission. Your mission down here is to be fruit bearers to Christ. Okay, fruit bearers. Okay, and your mission is to inform. That's all. Okay, so as a team throughout the week, they have their practices. Okay, like a football team, they practice in the heat in the peak of summer, they're out there where the humidity is really hot. Okay, and they're out there sweating and getting dirty. Okay, but what are they doing? Practice, practice, and practice. Okay, and what do? Pray, pray, and pray. We pray in the heat, we pray in the cold, we pray when we feel good, and we pray when we feel bummed out. Okay, however we feel. Okay, because our prayers aren't based upon our feelings. Okay, it's based upon our mission. Okay, in order to please God. Okay, so the administration right here, okay, which we see, that we see these three things brought out in 1 Corinthians. Okay, the administration. Okay, and administration, okay, and dispensation. Okay, we see these things brought out, which is government, truth, and spirit. Okay, the threefold cord. In fact, we can jump over there just for a moment so we get another visual right here. And that's in 1 Corinthians. Okay, and when he says about this administration. Okay, and that's in 1 Corinthians. And chapter 12, okay, it talks about administrations, operations, and diverse, and he talks about this too, gifts, administrations, operations, diversities, differences, okay, and manifestations. Okay, we've got the gifts, the callings, the grace of God. Okay, and that's right there, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay, 4, 5, and 6. So if somebody challenges you and says, well, where's that in the Bible? Okay, about government, truth, and spirit. Well, it's all through the Bible right here. But then again, this right here is a good example. Okay. Because this is a threefold cord, okay, that's binding us to the altar of Christ. Okay, where he talks about the gifts, he talks about the gifts right here, administrations and operations, government, truth, and spirit.
So it's, just repeat that, so it's administration, ministration,
and? And operations.
Operation.
Right, and operations here.
And then you can say the gifts, the callings, and the graces.
You got the gifts, yeah, the diversities of gifts, okay. Okay, which is the work of the Spirit. Okay, the administration is also has to do with his government. Okay, as well as the operations of this. Okay, the gifts, the callings, the operations of the callings, the administrations. Okay, you get truth. Okay, get truth there, right? Administration, operations, government, truth, and spirit, right? Okay, and then as you read on right here, you can see how he plays this out. For to one is given the word of wisdom, knowledge. Okay, we see here we see the gifts of the Spirit. Then we get verse 28, you see the callings. You see the gifts of the Spirit following this. Okay, because every one of these things is given to your prophet. Okay, you know, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just reflecting back on something there. Okay, so you see the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man a prophet with all. That means every saint, okay, has access to the game. Every saint is a player. Okay, even though you might be on the field at that moment, okay, but your training, okay, qualifies you to go on that field and to perform the task of the coach. Okay, so you see gifts, administrations, operations, diversities, differences, and manifestations. Okay, so we see that in verse 8, 9, and 10. Okay, where it talks about the differences of the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, but in verse 11, again, he explains this. But all these works that one, the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay, this is the goal of the body of Christ. Okay, your functionality, mobility. Okay, without the mobility, you're dead. You're dead in the water. Okay, you're just sitting there. You're sitting duck. Okay, you're not functioning. You're just wandering in the field, kicking stones. Okay, they're not playing. You ever see that with little kids? It's kind of cute. Okay, we watched a little kid's soccer game. Okay, when they're from, like, what is it, 10 year olds, 10 or 12 years old, 8 to 12. Okay, you get them out there in the field. Okay, and some of the kids are really with it, you know, and the other kids are just kind of like, they go into the little world. They kind of went out there. And everyone, the mom and dad is on the line there, like a soccer mom.
Yeah.
Okay, they're out there yelling, Johnny, go that way, Johnny. And Johnny's out there kicking stones. They're kind of wondering, like, what's going on. And some Christians are like that.
Yeah,
they're out there, they're kind of like wandering. Says, why am I here? You know, again, that kind of takes an elder, you know, like mom and dad, you know, says out there, go on, that way. And it is kind of cute because the kids get so excited, they get disoriented out there, and they end up kicking the ball to the wrong goal. That way. No, Johnny, the other way.
I scored. Yeah, the wrong
team. Well, mom and dad are still proud, yeah. You know, they're still proud about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's cute when it's when you look at that, but it's no longer cute when Christians do the same, when they take no responsibility for their faith,
uh-huh,
and their faith becomes aimless, and they call it, you know, they actually, you know, they become angry when you say to them, well, where is it, what is it producing? Well, because in their mind it's producing, because there's much zeal in the company, but it's not producing anything.
That's right, productivity, mobility and productivity. Fruit bearing and you say informing. That's the mission. Your mission down here has to do with fruit bearing and to inform.
You know,
that's just to simplify it. What you got, though?
Yeah, I was thinking what Prophet Leone said there, that part of this awakening that God performs is to bring them out of that dream state,
mm-hmm,
to where they're just out there in their world, and they have this imagination about how things are.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring them into the reality of their faith,
mm-hmm,
yeah, things start changing then.
Oh yeah, from that, yeah, from the fun zone, it goes into the responsibility zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can see that when people just come into the faith, there is a lot of excitement and zeal. Okay, but if that's not properly directed, it really falls into despair and frustration,
mm-hmm,
and that's really a shame, because there's a lot of good people out there that are just stuck in the wrong system. Okay, and they had a great experience with the Lord. Okay, they had a great dream, a revelation, or vision. Okay, and they run to their pastor, and the pastor,
mm-hmm,
says, "Oh, that's just great. Sit in the pew and be quiet."
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, Johnny gets so discouraged. He says, "This isn't fun anymore." Okay, and then from that point on, the pastor is telling them, he's, that in the false religious system, they yoke them with all these philosophies. I remember when I was going to Assembly of God Church, one of the first things the pastor did, okay, when one of these people just converted, was this person had glorious conversion, okay, and the first thing the pastor did was walk up to him and grab him by the hair and says, "You got to cut your hair." Mm-hmm. Next thing he says, "You got to put a tie on." I know, it was bad, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that person, within a short time, they left. They said they didn't like the pastor of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person now is, what are they doing now? They're not even contributing to the body of Christ. They're just, they're out there dead in the water. You know, they're, instead of sitting on the bench or in the play, they're sitting on the rebel tracks. Okay, you know, just depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sitting on rail tracks. But that's that's the state of the church. Okay, and the house of Bel, that's what they do. Okay, but okay, in the body of Christ, everyone's a player. Everyone's out there. Everyone knows what their job is. Okay, that's the purpose of studying the doctrine. Okay, okay, as to whether you're a quarterback, halfback, lineman, okay, wide receiver or tight receiver, okay, whatever it is, okay, your position on the field, you know what it is, and you're playing it. Well, you're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Everyone's contributing. Okay, now you're building, which before you weren't. And before you could even have a calling before. Okay, if you're called to be an apostle and you're in the house of Bel, you can forget it. Okay, the pastor says, "We don't want you to be proud. So we're just going to have you just sit right down right here." And year after year, the person is immobilized.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they do, and they begin to think, "says Well, didn't God call me?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the pastor really can't, you can say, instruct them properly, because the pastor, okay, is not qualified to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have that measure of grace in order to, okay, like the coach. The coach is very well, okay, educated in his field. Okay, and you see that in the basketball teams, professional basketball, or any sport. We're all familiar with that. Okay, or in any sport, the coach is the most familiar. He knows exactly what the mindset. He knows the state of the morality. Okay, yes, you call it right. Morale, right. Right. He knows the temperature of the team. Okay, so we hear in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, we see first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. Then we see also, that's the callings. Okay, we see the gifts of the Spirit, miracles, healings, diversities. Then we see governments right there. Okay, governments, again, which has to do also administrations, operations, diversities of tongues, apostles. No, not everybody's an apostle. That's true, you're not an apostle. Okay, but you're a player on a team. Okay, not everybody's a prophet, but you're a player on a team. We can all prophesy one by one, okay? But if there's a revelation that comes forth, then we can measure it easily by the prophetic path, okay? Concerning the direction it's going, the prophetic path. Okay? And we're not there. The idea of let the others judge has nothing to do with censorship. Censorship is not judgment, okay? Not the judgment of the prophetic path. Censorship is more like you're critiquing, okay? As if you're looking for something that's out of an error. Says, "Oh, you didn't say it really right, okay? Or you said it in the wrong spirit, okay? That we don't do that. Okay, the idea is that, okay, whatever revelation, okay, or whatever the Spirit moves upon the prophet's ministry, okay, whatever is spoken, okay, is always put in the light of the prophetic path, okay, the direction. Okay, what's the direction of the Spirit? Okay, you can see that in the Old Testament. Okay, all the prophets confirmed, okay, Moses. Okay, all the prophets confirmed." Okay, the activity of the time, okay, whether it be captivity, okay, or deliverance, okay, that's a true prophet's ministry, okay, but not the rogue prophets. The rogue prophets prophesy, okay, more or less out of the aspiration, okay, and out of the enthusiasm of event theology. Okay. In other words, they're role playing. They're just role playing. All right, so we see right there: government, truth, spirit, gifts, callings, grace of God. And also prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay, now we can see results of that also, which we see the ministrations in 2 Corinthians. You can see the results of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, we can see the distribution factor of charity. Okay, we can see the temperament of that virtue, okay, manifesting itself through. And then in chapter 14, okay, we can see how the Apostle Paul emphasizes these things for your spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 14. Okay. So he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, be zealous of these things. Okay, that's the appetite of the church. That's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's what our Lord said for us to do. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here is his righteousness manifesting itself right here in this letter. Covet earnestly the best gifts. That's God's standard, see? Okay, so we're to covet. That's in verse 31 of chapter 12. In chapter 12, verse 31, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, the best gifts is prophecy and tongues. Okay, because these are the most resourced, useful. It's like bread and water. Okay, it's the staple of life. Okay, so praying in tongues and prophecy is the Christian's staple. Okay, this is your water. This is your bread. Okay, this is the oil. Like this is the oil of the lamp, and this is the flour of the sacrifice. This is the Christian staple. Okay, with these two things, it opens up the door. Okay, to these other manifestations. If you're faithful in that which is little, then God will also entrust you with more. Okay, these are the rewards of the tokens, okay, when the Lord visits you and sees that your heart is full of faith. So you covet earnestly these things, okay, in chapter 14, verse 1, desire spiritual gifts, okay, in chapter 14, verse 12, even so for you, as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts. So you see the word covet, desire, zealous. Okay. And you see this in the assembly in Muzzle Bay. You can see it there. Okay. It's infectious in a positive way. Okay. It's infectious in a positive way. Okay. As the saints continually build themselves up, okay, they're prioritizing. Okay. They're prioritizing now the time. Okay. You say another word for that. Okay. Your time management. Your time management. You're learning time management. It sometimes takes some people longer than others, but time management is being pressed. Okay, for the purpose of coveting these things, your prayer time, okay, your prayer time, sacrifice, okay, good works, okay, are all tethered to this. Okay, so you're coveting good things. Okay, that's the driving force of the God code with faith. Okay, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, if the God code is tethered to the moral code, then you're coveting after evil things. We don't want to do that. Okay, we don't want to covet after our neighbor's things. Okay, but we want to covet to edification. That's good. That's good. We want to covet to edification. Covet earnestly the best gifts. So the word best gifts in verse 31, chapter 12. Chapter 12, 31, put tongues in prophecy. Okay, the best gifts is not miracles. Okay, because you can't covet after miracles. Okay, that is a gift if the Spirit elects at the time of the manifestation. Okay, that's what the Spirit does. Okay, he's not talking about coveting after those things. When people covet after those things, they fall into the laughter movement. They think the laughter movement, okay, was something that was induced by the Holy Ghost. But I fail to see that word laughter there and say listed, okay, with the nine gifts of the Spirit. I fail. It's not listed there. Okay, it doesn't say in laughter, okay, hilarity and pageantry, okay, as one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Nope, not there. Okay, so we're not to covet after those things. Okay, but we're covered after, okay, these things which Christ has given to us for your seal. Praying in tongues is the first gift he gives you. Okay, he says, this is the first gift I'm giving you. Do you believe? Will you use this? Okay, that's the first thing that I utilized. Okay, after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost here on the hillside. Okay, that's the first thing I did. I focused on that. I utilized that. Okay, and after that, then I found the other things, they came into play. Then I started prophesying. Level one prophecy. And I says, wow, this is really cool. You know, this is really neat. And as simple as it is, you know, I found this is very edifying. Okay, and then as it continued on, the Spirit began to build. See what the Spirit does? The Spirit builds. That's what the anointing is for. The anointing is for your building. Okay? The anointing is for your building. It's taking this knowledge which is in you and it's giving it life. Okay, as you speak charity one to another. It's taking this knowledge in you and giving it life. If the knowledge which is in you is not being directed in that form, okay, if it's not directed in that way, okay, then it's working death into death. It's just a form of knowledge without life to it. Okay. See, but covet, earnestly desire, and be zealous of these spiritual gifts. Okay, and let's go back over here. We're still really in 2 Corinthians about being enriched. Okay, so we're back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Okay, we talked about the fruits. Okay, now he that ministers seed to the sower and both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So we brought out that we should highlight these things. Okay, the word you can highlight the word fruits. I like the word enrich. Okay, I like this one too. Dispersed abroad, as is written, he has dispersed abroad. Okay, that is coveting, and you see that verse 9. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9:9. Okay, so highlight the word dispersed abroad. Now this is the more you sow, the more you grow. And the more you sow, the more you grow. You have dispersed abroad. His righteousness remains forever. Okay, now it's taking form in the form of fruit bearing. Okay, and that's what you want. You want to get it from the bud to the blossom to the fruit. Okay, from the bud to the blossom to the fruit. Okay, all these things are all these things God put within nature to teach us certain process and protocol. Okay, when you plant a seed, okay, it goes through the protocol of its growth. Okay, from a seedling into a bud or to sprouts, and then it goes into a full stalk into the fruit. Okay, and it's the same thing with an apple tree. Okay, from the bud to the blossom. Okay, it buds and it blossoms out. It's beautiful. Of course, then it goes from there into the next stage, okay, to develop itself into the fruit, okay, and as it develops itself into the fruit, okay, it begins to take on, a seed develops within it, which carries on a tradition of its parent. And that's what we're doing. We're carrying on the tradition of our Father within us, because Christ is being formed within you, okay, and when Christ is being formed within you, that's the hope of glory, okay, you're carrying a spiritual tradition, okay, into the third covenant, okay, whereas you're going to be propagating as the apple of the tree. Okay, the apple contains his parent. Okay, it contains his tradition, okay, to carry on to the next generation. And that's what we're doing. So he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Okay, he that ministers seed to the sower, okay, as concerning the stewardship, okay, ministering seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, okay, as one that stands at the altar, okay, and multiply your seed sown. Okay, that's the benefit of it. Okay, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So highlight the word fruits there, and highlight the word enrich in verse 11. Being enriched, okay, in everything. So we highlight the word thing there and put the word tools over the word thing. Because we're not talking about abstracts. We're talking about, or abstracts or concepts, we're talking about tools. Okay. All right, so being enriched in everything. Okay, what happens? Then you're bountiful to all bountifulness. This is your temperament. Okay, which increases through us, the government, thanksgiving to God. This is the completion of your cycle. Okay, for the administration of the service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also in many thanksgivings to God. And again, that's the word thanksgivings again. That's what we do in Sunday morning. Okay, as we sing in the Spirit. Okay, so we prophesy by the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Nay, we are abundant also in many thanksgivings unto God. Okay, now whilst the experiment, or the proof of this, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Okay, now this right here is another point of measurement. Okay, this is a point of measurement. The Apostle Paul was able to measure, okay, or to gauge. Okay, he was able to gauge your growth just as much as, okay, as a mechanic, okay, is able to gauge the performance of your engine, okay. But he has the tools there, okay, that are necessary to measure the mechanics or the mechanics of your engine, as he attaches them to this vessel. Now the Apostle Paul is also able to gauge your spiritual growth, okay, whether it be little children, young men, or fathers. Okay, that's in verse and that's 12 and 13 there. Okay, he is able to gauge this. Okay, it's the same thing in our position. We're also able to gauge these things. Okay, but like any mechanic, master mechanic, okay, it takes patience. Okay, it takes skill and patience. Okay, as he gauges these things. Okay, I'll watch them. Okay, the modern engine. Okay, takes more of an educated. You actually have to have now a specialist. Okay, before you could just be a grease monkey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, grease monkey, like it's like a tinker. You could tinker on a car, like a Model A, Model T, okay, or something, or some of those cars in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Okay, you go out there, you can tinker around with it, you could order parts. You could even go to a junkyard to get parts, okay? Okay, but today's engines, okay, are on a different scale, okay? They have been engineered, okay, where the technicians have to be specialists. You have to go to school now, okay, to receive a certificate of that you have met the criteria that you're able to perform on this task right here. Okay, and now they have all kinds of tools that implement these things. You have to know how to use these tools to attach them and to measure and to measure them. And they even have tools to be able to tell what's wrong with your car. Okay, and those things. Okay, that requires a skill. Okay, this is the same kind of skill level God wants to be reintroduced to the church. He wants to reintroduce the skill level to the apostles, particularly, okay, so that that they're able now to gauge, okay, not criticize, but to gauge. Anybody can criticize. Everybody's a critic, okay. You go to a movie and ask anybody that comes out of a theater, what do you think about the movie? Well, they'll give you their opinion, right? They're just a critic, you know, whether positive or negative, okay. But it would take a professional, okay, in order to view these things and to give an assessment, okay. So the apostle's calling is not for the purpose of the critical eye, okay, but rather through the purpose of giving direction, okay, inspiring, giving direction, giving hope, okay, encouragement. So while it's by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God. Now the word glorify has to do with a process. Okay, it begins at a seed and it progresses to a fruit. That's a process. Okay. For your professed subjection, okay, under the gospel of Christ, okay, and for your literal distribution unto them and to all men. Okay, so this is a result of a due process, okay, of long suffering, mercy, patience, faith, charity. Okay. Well, let's go on here. And by their prayers, you might want to hide the word prayer there. There's another good word. Okay, by their prayer. Now the Apostle Paul knew they were praying. Okay, because the Apostle Paul also taught pray without ceasing. Okay, he also put value, great emphasis and value in prayer, because his form is this engagement, by the way, that your joy is going to be full. Okay, and not only is your joy going to be full, but it's also going to free your soul from bitterness and hostility, even towards somebody else, your enemies. Mm-hmm. Okay, because your enemies want to draw you into conflict by the principle, and they want you to justify yourself. Okay, by that principle, but you're free to Christ. Okay, as you're continually working with with these tokens, prayer, preaching, prophecy, you're working with the grace of God. It frees you from trying to stand to justify yourself by the principle, because that's what they want you to do. They want you to draw you into that net, to principle you, and of course, and every time you're drawn to the net in order to justify yourself in the light of their principle, you know what happens? You never measure their standard, and they never forgive you.
Okay.
Never. Mm-hmm. Okay, it always comes in a cycle of attack. Mm-hmm. Okay, because that's that kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's that kingdom. See. Mm-hmm. So, in order to spare you the time, okay, and the discouragement, okay, of that, Paul just takes the shortcut: pray,
mm-hmm.
pray without ceasing. Free your soul, okay, from the bondage of the principle. Okay, free your soul from their evil doings, their aspirations, from the wrongdoings, okay, and also free yourself to Christ. Say, so by their prayer for us, which long after you, by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. See, he's able to measure that token. The exceeding grace of God, exceeding grace, okay, it's progressing, it's fruit bearing. Okay, you can see this in the activity of the assembly. Okay, you can see this in the attendance of the general assembly. The exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, okay, as God continues to issue forth these tokens for your growth. So you're zealous, desirous of these spiritual gifts, okay, and you're coveting after spiritual things. That's good. That's a healthy church. Okay, but if you're not abounding in knowledge, if you're not abounding in wisdom, if you're not abounding in faith and charity, then there's a discrepancy that exists there. Okay, so you can walk into any house of Bel, and you can immediately on the scales, on the scale of this, okay, of this, on a scale of truth, you're able to measure immediately there is something wrong here. Okay, there's a different spirit. I can remember when Maria and I went to the community gospel, the community church,
mm-hmm.
okay, in California. When we were going there, after the service, we were walking home, and we would discuss, what is wrong? Is there something that's wrong here? But we just could never put our finger on it. Okay, what it was. Well, now I know what it is now. Okay, but we were just young Christians here. We were only in the faith about a couple years. Okay, and we would discuss these things. Okay, not in a sense of criticism. Okay, because we couldn't put our finger on anything. But all we knew is that there was something that was wrong, absent. Okay, and that had to do with not only the performance of the saints, okay, but also in the spirit in which it was delivered. We could tell there was a different spirit there. Okay, and then we went to community chapel. That was community chapel. And then we went to an Assembly of God church called People's Church. Okay, and when we were going there, we felt that same spirit. Okay, that there was something that was wrong there. But the people were nice. The pastor was a missionary, and he was a really nice guy. Okay, but it was a spirit that was presiding over that system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was a spirit of Baal. Okay, and we could feel there was something wrong. Okay, then we went to Bible school. Okay, when I went to Bible school. Okay, we knew that there's something wrong there. And says it has to. We kept following that spirit, and then the Lord gave me a dream, which was when we lived in California. I went to Bible school in Oklahoma, but in California, okay, when we were praying, okay, there was as I was praying, there was a dream that was given to me, okay, and regarding a certain spirit, but I didn't see it at first. But then we went to Bible school. It was starting to manifest itself.
Mm-hmm.
It was starting to become very clear. And I says, you know, and I knew it because the emphasis of the Bible school, which is Kenneth Hagin's Bible school, the emphasis of the course has to do with covetousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that it says there is something really wrong here. Okay, in that, and the Lord gave me, and of course, the Lord gave me a dream, and He delivered us from that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, even though I graduated from the school, but He delivered us from that spirit. Okay, in that, and then the Lord had to re-educate me, and that's when the first things the Lord ever taught me was grace. When the Lord enlightened me to that grace after a dream, He enlightened me to grace. Okay, He freed my soul then to every other element. I says, now I can see what happens. Okay, as an example of that, okay, that's one example of that is B equals B, but the other ones are over here, behind Casey. Okay, of how each one of these elements played out, and it was 1972, 1973 that Lord started giving me these things. In that, and this right here is around 1982, when we finally came to that. That's 1982. Okay, and this, and Lord began. That's the first thing God taught me was grace. From grace, He taught me faith. From faith, He taught me righteousness. Then He taught me the value of the seal. Then He taught me the value of sanctification and holiness, righteousness and justification, regeneration, renewing the mind. All the 12 elements, and then all of a sudden, it came together. I saw all these stones laying around. And I says, how does this come together? And all of a sudden, that's the altar. And it all came together right there, the altar of Christ. And that was around the 1980s. And then it went from the 80s to the priesthood and the 90s. Okay, and the stewardship, everything just started coming right together there.
Now the Lord was always worked according to an altar. And now when Christ was restored, also the altar had to be restored first.
That's right. The altar had to be restored, yeah. In the proper place. Okay, well, let's go on to the next chapter here.